No, so how it like normally works is that then we all come together and we're like, hey, gang, today I found this on the internet, and then I show the class of what it is, and it's normally something very stupid. And then we're like, wow, that was really nice of you. And then they share their things that they found. It's normally stuff on the internet. It's
can
not
you,
like a, it's
can
not
you
like,
see it?
What?
Can you see it?
Can I see what?
Like whatever the thing is.
I mean, sometimes yes, sometimes no. It just depends on how the flow of doing the show is.
Okay.
But that's how we normally start.
I see.
So if you've seen anything silly, it's not strictly just the internet. It can just be like in general.
Perfect.
Normally it's Kieran being like, oh, the Dutch are posting again or something like that. And that's very nice.
Cool.
But yeah.
I have one in mind.
What?
There's like, I feel like you've probably stumbled across these too. There's like, I keep stumbling across these like horrible AI generated like fruit kind of erotica.
Oh,
cartoons.
Yeah. No,
these?
Of course. Yeah. Where it's like watermelina. How
exactly,
could you?
Exactly. Yeah. And then like the baby's born and it's an eggplant, not a strawberry.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are typical AI slop. I know that I shouldn't like any AI slop, but I will like the plots are pretty good on those ones.
Yeah.
The AI slop that I've been getting lately, which is hilarious, is the I don't know who's making this, but it is just like, it'll be like a beautiful woman on like an airfield. And it's just like, Habibi, come to Tehran. And then it's just like showing off like Iranian military equipment that I don't think Iran actually has. Like it's like American military equipment. Mm. But it's very just, it's very like on the nose AI slop. But like the like war posting AI slop.
Oh gosh.
And it's very, very, very silly. And then there's like different versions of it where there's also like guys and whatnot and this and that and that. But the one that then I get mostly is a beautiful woman showing off Iranian military capabilities that I don't think they actually have.
Intriguing. Okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah. But the, I don't know. I always like try to have the idea that it's like, okay, I want less AI in my life, this and that, da 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 da. And then I do love the AI slop. Like I can't deny it, right? I'm just like, I'll see a video and just be like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I think it's because it's honest, you know?
It's like, not honest.
No, but it is because like, I think a lot of what feels, I mean, there's lots of things that are bad about AI, but something that feels bad about like AI produced content is when it's trying to like spook you a little bit. And AI, like pure AI slop, like the strawberry erotica or whatever, like there's no pretending. You're like,
oh yeah,
this
true,
is just
true, true.
Slop, and
yeah,
that is
absolutely
fine. It's like those video games that used to. Oh, I miss them so much that you'd get the ads of them on Instagram all the time that were like, the prince is here. This is not my baby. And like,
yeah. And it's, oh God. Kieran has mentioned this on multiple times of that. Then it'll be like, oh no, the prince is here, but my feet stink or something
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah. Oh, I saw like one of the strawberry watermelina ones I saw the other day was like the farting in bed one.
Yeah. Exactly. Watermelina farts too much. Uh-huh, yeah. And then like keeps getting sent to court by her boyfriends or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that. I know what this is. But yeah, no, I guess that's very true in the sense of that then it's like, it's also like with like the AI, Italian brain rot slop shit where it's like, oh, crocodilo. I don't know. Like, I don't.
Ballerina cappuccino. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the OGs of
exactly.
of the AI, nonsense where it is. Yeah. It's like, that's like, okay, fine. Like it is just creating the stupidest thing on earth. And I'm fine with that. Or like this video that then I found of this guy that then his entire, all the videos are AI generated and it's about having wet jeans.
Ooh.
And he's like, oh, like it's like this guy is like trying to get a job at a hotel and the hotel's like thing is that then all the servers serve drinks in the pool with wet jeans on. He's like, I'll never get to, you know, like to be one of the servers with wet jeans. And it is so stupid. It makes no sense. And I sent it to three people.
Wait, did you see this picture from, it was like a, some kind of military, baptism is the wrong word, but it looks like one, like some kind of military ceremony that was conducted in a pool. like, oh, I need to try and find this. It looks like the most insane AI slop image
but
ever.
Is it real?
But I think it's like, I need to, I'm going to look it up right now. It's just like a bunch of Marines, I think, standing around in uniform in a pool with like guy in suit, some ambassador or something, performing some kind of ceremony, like all up to the waist. Hit the ambassador guy wearing a suit. I need to find this.
This, like, which country is it from?
That is what I'm struggling
with. If it's like something Eastern European or like Caucasus related, then I'd be like, oh, this is 1,000,000% real.
I need to connect to your Wi-Fi to figure out. One second.
Wow.
Can you just search like military ceremony in pool and find it?
No, I can't because I'm doing other stuff over here.
You are doing other important. I will look it up on my
anyway,
phone.
It doesn't matter if it's real or not. I would believe you if it is. If it is from a country that then is further east than Poland, it is real.
Oh, this is a thing.
What? It's a thing.
Military pool ceremonies is a thing.
Like, it's just like let me see. No. Stop it. Military pool specialized often informal events held in swimming pools, such as. Is this? Oh, it's an American thing. Oh, gross.
Very weird. Yeah, no, I thought this was some like wacky one-off. Like I saw a picture of it yesterday and was very confused, but I get.
They look like just like children just standing around in a pool. Oh, the Imperial Corps, baby. They've Oof. Just, it's just like, look at that. It's like you're at the like city pool, you and your drill sergeant taking an oath while then two men are just on the edge of the city pool holding
an American flag.
American flag. Yeah, reservist reenlist at Camp Arishan Pool. Okay, so yeah, this must be. God, wow.
Gorgeous.
Speaking of enlisting in the pool and tech and military and AI slop, perfect transition.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to your weekly Corner Spatey. It is me, Nick, and I'm joined with special guest, good friend, Kat, a.k.a. Kitty Infrastructure, who is a local programmer, I guess not local programmer, a Berlin activist slash organizer and also a programmer, which is the international thing.
International thing,
I guess, yeah, because you can program anywhere anything in the world. Yeah. Where it's like exactly. You're doing your activism organizing stuff mostly in Germany and Berlin.
Yeah, so. Whereas I'm secretly in
Kuwait.
Exactly.
Yeah, you are downing U.S. military jets.
No, I'm conducting a pool ceremony.
The pool ceremony. Maybe that is. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's you in the picture. I just didn't know. But thank you for coming on the show. And we have Kat on today to talk about particularly tech and AI and the recent Pentagon contracts with, I keep forgetting the company's name a million times over.
Basically a bunch of drama with Anthropic, the Pentagon / the Department of War, and also like OpenAI is in there as well. There's like a whole bunch of drama going on.
All of these things that are cool and normal and holding up our rickety economy, but also death.
Yes.
So I guess like first and foremost of what is then, because I know that then it's like people have been seeing these, you know, it's kind of come to light, especially too with then, you know, we're seeing more of Sam Altman everywhere, OpenAI. Anthropic, the Pentagon. What is like the like? Give us the you know general overlay of what this is. How has it kind of come about in the last few months, and why is this extremely concerning?
Sure. So, like, I guess the what's been happening in the last, I'm going to say week or maybe two, basically like about May last year, several different AI companies, OpenAI, Anthropic, Grok, and Gemini all were implemented to some degree in like different government agencies in the US. Anthropic and OpenAI both offered their services for like a year-long contract for like a sort of symbolic $1 price. And yeah, all four were kind of integrated. Anthropic's model Claude is the only one who has been used in classified systems within like the Department of War. It was used like during the Maduro thing, Venezuela, etc. But basically what has been happening in the last week is that like there are two supposed like red lines that Anthropic has stated that Claude should not be used for, which is like mass surveillance and like weapons with no human oversight, like targeting with no kind of human in the loop. And
so like entirely automated weapon systems.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Which like, yeah, I mean it's already like mostly there, you know, it's kind of like human approval stamp is my impression at least. But yeah, totally autonomous, like no human pressing go strike, etc. And so basically the Department of War wanted Anthropic to sign a contract that did not have these red lines in place. And the terminology, the terms used is kind of like for all lawful use. They said no. Like, let me preface this by saying, like, let's not commend Anthropic as being like great, you know, like they're still working with Palantir. They're still like very happy for their tools to be used for like military use, this kind of thing. But basically they said like no on these two points. Trump was like, okay, let's stop using Claude entirely. Like, he was like, okay, we're going to designate this as a supply chain risk. OpenAI kind of swooped in and was like, yes, we will sign a contract with the Department of War, like without these, like a more loosely worded one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is, there is like the legality of that is very vague, especially coming from the United States of being which international law they do or don't follow, which is typically none.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah,
it is just entirely just like a stupid formality at the end of the day.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, like Anthropic are back at the negotiating. Basically, like, I think the CEO, Dario Amodei, kind of pissed off Trump because he sent around this memo internally that was like, it's put in the papers as like flaming, scorching memo. But it's really not. I like read the text today. It's like quite long, but it's kind of like, it dunks a little bit on Sam Altman and like the OpenAI staff. Like it refers to the OpenAI staff as like gullible and naive. Palantir kind of offered this like data layer as which Dario Amodei refers to as like security theater. It's kind of like a bit critical or whatever, but not like, wow, like, you know, he's not lambasting them particularly.
Yeah, he's still trying to get a contract with the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Like there, that's the, like, what are you fucking pointing fingers for? Like you are literally like, you literally have an AI company. I just don't understand the sense of like where that, like maybe just, it just sounds like high school beef of like, oh yeah, Sam Altman's a loser and like these other companies, oh, they're losers too. But at the end of the day, they're all doing the same fucking thing.
I mean, they for sure have major beef. There was like, I forget which conference it was recently, some AI conference, and like all of the leaders, there's this photo of them like holding up hands and like Sam Altman and Dario Amodei like refuse to hold hands.
Yeah, I love my tech billionaires fighting it out amongst each other.
Uh-huh.
Just yeah, stupid that. So there's the go on then with the.
Yeah, I mean, like, where does it stand now? Like, this memo was leaked. It was from like 6 days ago or something. It definitely like pissed Trump off. As well as some other guys, I forget who, Hegseth and such and somebody else. And yeah, they designated Anthropic as a supply chain risk. it seems like, what does this mean exactly? It means contractors who have contracts with the Department of War are not allowed to use Anthropic products as like in their, it's basically like when they're performing contracts with the Department of War. So it's pretty limited actually as to like what that means. But like the memo was leaked, it pissed a bunch of people off, and like Dario Amodei has now like super backpedaled, like published an apology, has been like, oh, you know, my tone was a bit off. That was an internal memo. It was meant to not be leaked, blah, blah, blah. Like this doesn't align with my well thought out principles or whatever. And
I want that money.
Yeah. Like, I still want that 200
is,
million.
Yeah, none of these people, there is no such thing as a principled person in any of these technologies, like at the helm of them.
Like, I don't know. I think there's attempts, but yeah, it's to what degree it's just clever marketing is.
So, so currently it then stands that there's this kind of, pause more or less of using than this type of technology than from the United States itself within these Pentagon contracts. But,
well, no, not actually.
Okay.
Because like, it's not possible to just sort of pull the plug, right? It's like, and Claude is the only one that is currently integrated in the classified systems. There's like a link to something called Maven, which is like software produced by Palantir, which I'm guessing is the link there. But it's not the kind of thing you can just like pull out Claude and like plug in OpenAI, right? It's like there's still some migration time that would have to happen. It's like, I think the contract will still run for another 6 months. Because I don't know, even it, like as someone who uses a coding assistant every day, I have like lots of workflows that took time to set up. Like, and if I wanted to switch over to another system, I would have to like replicate all of these different workflows in my new system. I would not be able to just kind of like switch it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like Claude, et cetera, was like definitely still used in like recent strikes on Iran, this kind of
thing. Yeah, I was just about to ask then you know, the United States bragged about that. Like, I think, I don't know, I read like a headline that's like, Hegseth says that 1,000 airstrikes against Iran were done using AI, you know, like AI-led strikes and whatnot. And this is also then something, too, that then, you know, we can always make the argumentation on of, you know, Gaza kind of served as then one of the big proving grounds for then this type of technology. It's been very clear that, you know, I think there was... I can't remember if it was Mondo Weiss or if it was another publication that then what last year, 2 years ago came out talking about then the like Daddy's Home program that then Israel was using in order to kind of like conduct airstrikes. And then, but you're right in the sense that then it still wasn't done of like a fully automated system. It was the sense that then that of like target acquisition that then that would go through with these systems would then be kind of like put through a, you know, AI algorithm to then find out what the like threshold of casualties would be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So regardless of then, you know, like you've mentioned that there's, oh, okay, you know, no fully automated AI led military solutions in quotes.
There might be with Israel. I don't know.
No. But I mean, in the sense that then it doesn't like it doesn't really matter in that sense because it's like, what that then gets defined to is also then very like vague as well too. Like it can like collect all the data and then just like the human aspect could just be like ordering a drone strike.
For sure. And like, this is the thing, right? I think about this a lot because it's like the more that you use systems like this, I can think about it in a coding sense, the less you kind of evaluate it properly when you're like pressing confirm. It's like I spend all day just talking to an LLM pressing like confirm. Like the few things that you end up doing still as a software engineer, like working with AI, is like you're not ever writing code anymore. You're kind of like reading your colleague's code. And even that at this point feels redundant. At a certain point, it's like there's so many memes floating around that's like, I love pushing code. I didn't even read to production. But it's like, it's true. It's like people are doing that because there's like this expectation to work very fast, blah, blah, blah. You get lazy if you're just kind of like clicking a button all day. Like I'm sure if there's 1,000 drone strikes that are like powered by Claude, like at some point people, they're not going to be checking, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I think though that too, that to that argumentation, maybe argumentation is maybe the wrong word, but to like that perspective, it then also, from my perspective, gives like a tad bit of like excusal to then the type of, you know, hyper violence that then that the West and Israel are doing in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Iran, and God knows where else. I mean, you know, of that then. I feel that then that there's, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I like the fact of that then that it, like, because we saw this with the sense of like drone strikes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that then that like the bigger question that then that I always have here is kind of from a military nerd perspective is always like the forever transformation of, you know, wordings and technologies that then in warfare. And I just remember in the sense of it's like during the Obama administration, where, I mean, not just Obama, but, you know, Obama was notorious as like, you know, the drone commander in chief of the U.S. like loved drone striking, mm-hmm. everything. And most drone strikes of any president, if I'm not mistaken, Trump probably has beat that now. But, you know, for a country that then
drones in the morning, drones in the night, gonna find a pretty drone to take home to. I'll play you that song later.
Is that a real song?
It is a song by Heems that was from like 2011.
And that checks out then.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like the idea then of like removing a lot of the human element from warfare in the sense of like, oh, well, you know, like predator drones are like, you know, they're some guy in Nevada is just like on like more or less playing a computer game, mm-hmm. and this and that and that. And we're at one point and then tried to do like the ethical thing of like, oh, well, you see, it's not as brutal as, you know, the previous, complete bombardments of a country or a city like we see in World War II and Korea and Vietnam. But then also whenever there would be like, oh, you know, like say that a wedding got, you know, double tapped or triple tapped, mm-hmm. like Obama liked to do quite often, there was always then this like ease of the ability to excuse it even further of that then, oh, you know, well, like, you know, our intelligence wasn't, you know, like up to date, because it's all conducted by like, you know, satellite imagery and this and that, and that. Oh, you know, we got it wrong. You know, there's always like this sense of that then in the removal of the human element of it, it can then always be placed on the fact that then the technology was the problem of it. And I feel that then that this is kind of just like creating consistently the same common steps over and over and over again, just the technology has like slightly gotten different.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a denial of responsibility or like a way to distance, like who do we take to the Hague, you know, when...
Yeah, you can't take open AI to the Hague.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know if you can... I am in favor of executing AI. I have... I commonly... have the opinion that if you gave me a gun, I would shoot AI, but that is physically not possible. Mm-hmm. I know that you disagree with me because you have to use it. You use AI for work, but I'm sick of it. AI, I don't need it anymore.
No,
I mean,
I would not say I'm an AI evangelist. You know, it's just
okay, fine. Well, then you know,
it's just a tool that kind of sucks. That you know,
it also makes your job a lot easier. Not necessarily.
Yeah,
mine.
But I'm probably gonna have a job for like 6 months. Like,
okay, tight.
Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, like, there is then kind of the general also, I don't want to say, like, scary nature of an AI in warfare, because, like, all of it's, like, pretty bad right now, but there is then also, I think, to one of the things that you mentioned that was very interesting of one of the red lines was the surveillance technologies that they didn't want to sign up on. That and that one makes no sense to me, because I think the one thing that then that we've seen AI been internationally kind of sold on, you know, at least in like, we're here in Germany where like Palantir is like grinding for contracts with the German federal government, like that's a caveat that I cannot believe is actually legitimate from I do not know why I keep forgetting the company's name.
Anthropic.
Yeah. Stupid name.
It is a stupid name. Yeah. I mean, like, I guess Claude is, I don't know what to say about that. It is something that, interestingly enough, they mention a lot in the memo that was leaked. Like, this is something that really that they were trying to debate on with the Pentagon. I can find the exact wording. It's
surely you can't be ideologically that drawn to it if you're trying to get a contract with the literal, like, defense sector of the U.S. Like, it's like not even just that, it's like the defense sector of, like, I don't know, like Mexico or something like that, a country that then has a significantly tinier military with significantly tinier reach. You know, like, I don't know. I think ideologically, like, they either have to be living like on another planet, you know, where they think that then that in fantasy world, the U.S. is not the, like, greatest surveyor of everything in the world, you know, especially post Snowden. You can't go into this legitimately thinking that.
Sure, but I guess, like, maybe the difference here is the kind of tooling that is being sold. It's like, I don't think, like, a LLM-based tool like what Claude is generally what's collating a bunch of data in this way kind of thing. You know, that would be more like, it would just be a bit of a different use case.
Okay.
And I guess, like, part of it is probably they've made this tooling available to, like, any random Joe in the department or whatever. Like, maybe there would be permissions or something, or limitations on, like, who can use what. I don't know.
Okay.
It's like, this is the thing. It's really nebulous and confusing to me exactly what they are debating about in these contracts.
Well, then I guess then also, too, to, like, maybe take a step back with it as well, is that then, like, what exactly then are these technologies then? Like, I mean, for someone who then has a very, like, limited use of AI in their daily life, what is Claude, you know, what are then, like, the main functions that then that it itself does? You said that you use it quite often for your work. So what do then these, I know this is a very, like, silly question to ask, but it's like, how, like what is it, and then how is it then, you know, I mean, like you've mentioned that then there's the nebulous nature of, you're not entirely sure of, like, how it is being used, but, like, you know, everyone knows, I guess, to some degree now, what, like, ChatGPT is, of, like, you ask it the things that you can be asking Google.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do these, I guess, like, you know, like differ from other LLMs, etc.?
I guess, like, so there's multiple layers to it. So, like, Anthropic or, like, OpenAI or, like, any of these companies will have different models that are, like, trained on different data or whatever. And usually when they are upgraded, it's just, like, they'll be trained for a bit longer or whatever. So the most recent version, like, maybe there's some improvements made, this kind of thing. That's, like, what is there under the hood, like a different model or, like, et cetera, et cetera. I know Anthropic has, like, specific, I was looking at this today, like, government sort of models. So I guess they would be trained on, like, data that is useful for governments. It's called, like, Claude Gov or something like this. But, like, the tooling surrounding it is probably what is useful. It's like, I guess, like, agentic frameworks is what you could, like, Claude Code is what I use for work, for example. And this is something that I can talk to similar to like ChatGPT, but it can also, like, access tools in my system and also, like, external tools. So it can, like, read the files in my file system on my computer. It can, like, edit files, produce files. This was, like, you know, used for coding mainly now, but, like, Claude released something called Cowork recently, which can, like, generate you, say, an Excel document, this kind of thing, like, read a limited amount of, like, files in your file system, this kind of thing. So I can imagine maybe there's similar tools that are being used here. It's like, maybe you would have a, I don't know what it would look like, an MCP server that would talk to Maven, like the Palantir creepy targeting thing. And yeah, then you would be typing, like, yo, Claude, I want to conduct a drone strike in this mountain range. Can you, like, find me the most,
so it,
blah, blah,
it
blah.
Is communicating in, like, most likely in the sense of communicating it the way that you people talk to AI in general, then possibly.
Imaginably like, so, yeah.
Because that's, I think the thing that then I always, that I always find so personally weird with AI of that then, that, I guess in the sense that then I would imagine that then in order to then do the thing that then I want AI to do, I should have like a basic knowledge of that thing. Like you mentioned, like build an Excel file, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I would, my brain thinks that the sense of AI is just doing like what like the sum button does of like, well, I have to do all the inputs myself, but then as long as the like equations are correct, then I can like get it kind of completed with. But actually I can just type into whatever, you know, ChatGPT or whatever it may be, or like I am an idiot when it comes to using this stuff because I'm so vehemently against it. But like, yeah, like it is weird to me when people are like, oh, give me, you know, a this and this and this type of chart with this and this type of data, and then it will spit it out. Like, yeah. I still cannot conceive that.
Mm-hmm.
It still is very weird to me because I would think that then in the sense that you need to know how to like basically use like, you know, the fundamentals of Excel in order to then get this thing done. And it is, or like, oh, I think that then the only time I've ever actually used ChatGPT was like, write me a legal letter for this and this and this in Germany. It still didn't do it right.
That's probably a really bad use case.
No, exactly, right? And that was the thing too, is that then I thought, because in the sense of like, oh, okay, this is then what I would assume it then can get done. And then I like went through and read it and it was entirely wrong. I'm like, I still have to fucking do this by myself then.
This is the thing, right? It's like there's still, you still have to sort of babysit the tool a bit. Like with coding, I still need to know sort of programming fundamentals to a certain extent, or at least I can't just be like, hey, build me this thing and expect it to be correct. I still have to be like, okay, make this box bigger or whatever. And like, it significantly helps if I can describe it in like the terms that I would have done it manually in the past. So like, yes, that definitely helps. And probably like, if you don't, I think it depends on the program though, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I always come to the position from like a lot of the AI stuff from an absolute like Luddite's perspective that then I don't want this, get it away from me. But nonetheless, I mean, I think then the sense of the factor that then that these are being technologies that then are being competitive then for these contracts. You mentioned then of course then too that then OpenAI has just kind of like swooped in and like, you know, taken the reins, willing to then sign this contract.
Yes, but interestingly enough, there was so much backlash that now Sam Altman is like also having a bit of a kerfuffle, and he's like, oh, like, I guess we got to like look at the terms and get, because basically like a whole bunch of people, there was already kind of a boycott-ish movement happening with ChatGPT called QuitGPT. But like a whole bunch of people uninstalled ChatGPT in the last couple of days, and like heaps more people installed the Claude app to the point that it's now like number one in the app store. Like, yeah, I think the numbers I saw were like the Instagram infographics, so who knows the accuracy, but like 300 times the amount of Claude installs or whatever. So now Sam Altman is like kind of backpedaling a bit. And we'll see. It's like, it's still all in the middle of things. But
I find that very silly of just the, I'm in a protest by then installing the other one that has gotten the that has been presented the contract.
Well, this is the whole thing with Anthropic, right? It's like, again, it's like, I don't know, it was formed by like a bunch of people who left OpenAI in an attempt to make a more sort of ethical alternative. A lot of the like founders and people are like previous OpenAI devs. Their whole thing is like they're trying to make a more ethical version. They have this, like, both OpenAI and Anthropic have these kind of like constitutions for the models, and Anthropic's is huge. It's so long. I read it today and it's like incredibly lengthy about like ethics and this sort of thing. OpenAI's is much shorter and more sort of pragmatic. So this is like sort of a part of, I guess you could call it marketing. Like maybe there's, it's hard to say, you know, it's really hard to ascertain how much genuineness there is with this. Like I don't think that like everybody who works at these companies is evil. I think there are people trying to like be like, okay, this is happening, like let's try and make it as less evil as possible.
Yeah, but I guess it then like, I guess to push back on that strictly of the sense of they are doing the thing of pretending that they're a defense not a defense contractor while being a defense contractor.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like the sense of it's like you could make the exact same argumentation probably with like Dassault, like the company that makes like 3D imaging software for in their French company. They're also like they make fighter jets.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not saying this is like necessarily genuine, right? It's just like
No, for sure. These are the things. And it's like, that's the thing, right? Is that then it's like you have, I think, a bunch of like naive, and I would arguably probably also just out of my personal stigma against them, stupid people thinking that then that, oh, if they just say that they're an ethical defense contractor, that makes them an ethical defense contractor. Because at the end of the day, it's like this is a new company with new people that then are in a sphere, I think, that then is pretends that they're void of politics or very like libertarian. Always, right? Of that, then it's like kind of like the maybe I'm having a bad stereotype of like the 2000s and the 2010s of like the tech space being very like libertarian oriented, and that then it's like through the sense of that then kind of that libertarian lens of like, oh well, you know, if I say that then that I'm, you know, this good ethical thing, and I just happen to get caught up with then doing a defense contractor thing, that doesn't necessarily make me then a part of it. You know, but in reality, they're just very much still a part of this like tech industry that then is benefiting primarily. I mean, you've mentioned that then it's like, oh, well, they technically didn't take any money from this.
Oh, no, for, no. Yeah, like, but that, no. There's a 200, either million or billion, I forget, contract in place. Yeah, this is just the first year.
Yeah, yeah.
There is plenty of money at stake. Don't you worry.
Yeah. So it's like, it is like this kind of like hoops and ladders and then jumping through of like, oh, well, we only took the like theoretical $1. Initially, but at the end of the day, yeah, this is a multi hundreds of millions of dollar deal for then our company that then is at the end of the day, like just do like, sure, you could find, sure, you also offer then other things and this and that, you know, Mitsubishi makes pens and, you know, motorcycles. They also made fighter jets as well too. So it's like, it's not like these things of these industries aren't even actually like that new. In that sense of like the multi-purposed nature, oh, also we're doing the evil thing as well too.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I think this is a part of it too, right? It's like the symbolic $1 thing. It's not even just like, yay, we want this big government contract. It's like, we want our model to be trained on like military data or like classified government data. Like, we don't want to miss out on this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly.
Opportunity kind of thing.
And I think that then that, I mean, this is maybe then to like open up the talk to then like the more general, like economic discussion of it. Of just that then it is like, I do think that this isn't something that then is very interesting within like the new era of whatever you can call version of capitalism that then that we're in, where then the, not given, yes, sure, fine, you can make the argumentation that, oh, the United States has always been very military oriented, you know, the like research and development and the military sector of like state and, you know, market things overlapping is one of the main reasons why we have a lot of technologies in the United States. You know, it explains things like the space program. Mm. It explains things like, I don't know, like a bunch of other fucking technologies that I can't name off the top of my head that probably are there because, oh, the U.S. military needed something. But I do feel that then that just like the hyper directness of it now is like a bit in this odd era of the like, post neoliberal, what's it called? Like just like the sheer economic nationalist kind of Trumpian sort of policy that then that we're into. And maybe I could be entirely wrong, but this does feel like something that then is easier to then happen under the current administration being so open about it, right? I mean, maybe like sure, fine. You can make the argumentation that then that this is always like the like, oh, well, you know, the U.S. has always been this way, whether it be Biden or Obama and this and that and that. But like the very militaristic grind of the Trump admin, it feels that this is like specific to this era.
I feel like, even the renaming of the department from like Department of Defense to Department, like even it. Yeah, for sure. No, I agree with you there.
And like, I guess then too is the sense of as well would just be, and this is something that I know that neither one of us at the table know right now, but it's like it'd be very interesting to see then what like other nations are then doing similarly with then these contracts with AI technologies in the military sector. Like, you know, I mean, I think probably one that then easily comes to mind is China, mm-hmm. is very much clearly, like, I think that is very well known that they have a very large AI sector, that mm-hmm. they're using that to then export that and this and that and that. It's one of China's, like, main deals. Like, what does France look like?
Yeah, you know? I would be curious. I have not researched this so much yet.
No, I know. Yeah, that's just simply, it's like an open question. Because it's like, yeah, it's like, we are like, we're definitely in these eras of, you know, I think the Trump administration has been very clear about their goals for other nations to then have more military spending. There's also then the sense too that then this could be exported to other countries and to use. I mean, I guess like I don't entirely know how the sense of this would work with implementing an AI system, what a contract would then look like. I mean, we've been seeing Palantir obviously compete for German for German contracts on like local levels and such like that. I mean, it is like very much a part of like the like new American economy.
I was going to say this, like though the new sort of Berlin police laws are very sort of AI oriented, stuff like facial yeah. recognition in public spaces, this kind of thing. It's like different tooling, but it's like all the legal frameworks are coming in to be able to just do all of this shit.
Yeah. And I mean, it constantly, I guess also too, it's the, again, like same argumentation before, right? Of it's like, you know, the periphery of the empire is like the proving ground, you know, and then now we're kind of seeing the imperial boomerang, you know, usage of, I mean, I guess it's this is what really confuses me about all this, right? If it's like, how much of this is new, how much of this is then actually like been constant in this? And this is where I get, this is for me personally, maybe you can like explain it a little bit better to me, of like, all this just sounds like that we're still like post Edward Snowden, all that type of stuff. I don't really see any difference. It's just things like I feel like the names of things are changing, you know, like whether it be Palantir or whether it be, what was the name of the program that the US was using for spying on everyone that like Snowden declassified? I can't remember the name of it.
I'm drawing a blank too.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like a lot, like to me, this stuff just all sounds like a tad like redundant at some point. Like for someone who knows nothing about then these technologies, I don't really see then what, like it's like, oh, I thought we were already doing that. You know?
Like, yeah, I guess maybe just the tooling is better now.
Is it like actually, like I guess from like your perspective of than someone who then interacts with AI?
Yeah, more definitely. Than I do. It's crazy how much stuff has evolved in the last 6 months. Like things I could do 6 months ago are so different from things I could do now. And it gets better and better on a weekly basis. There was a study published like yesterday or like the day before, also by Anthropic, about which parts of the workforce, like which tasks within certain jobs are now automated. And computer programmers is like the highest, which makes sense. And it's like 75% of tasks that used to be done by a human are now automated. And I see this, it's like, I don't really use my brain anymore. like not really. It's like, I have to use my brain in a different and very annoying way. It's like, reviewing shit and trying to be like, I guess you gotta like open four different tabs and do six different things at once and like try and remember what each of them are, rather than being like, oh, I'm going to build a code thing for like several hours. And like, yeah, it is crazy how fast this is evolving. Almost every week, like OpenAI or Anthropic will build some feature that just like eradicates some software as a service startup because like their product doesn't make sense anymore because you can just use Claude instead.
Then I guess then like the harking back to then an earlier question then of if AI then is like offering them these things to, you know, whatever, speed up, speed up's the wrong word, to streamline processes and to, yeah, like you said, get rid of some. What, like this once again just still comes back to the sense of that then it's like, well, are you actually eliminating the human error? You know, in the sense of we've seen then the sense of you know, mentioning Israel's usage of AI weapons or AI systems that weapon systems that then have been programmed more or less or been targets have been found, rather, I guess is the proper way of wording it, through, you know, AI, and a computer is like, I think the thing that's very interesting of this is that there's like the inputs that then have to go into then this system is then what defines what can and can't be then done, right? So in the sense of it's like what Israel defines as a legitimate military target is up to then like a very vague definition. There is the sense of like, you know, I think it's a pretty general well knowledge at this point that Israel considers most men, or, you know, like males above the age of 16, as a legitimate military target. Same thing the United States did during Iraq and Afghanistan. Of that, then it's like that's how we have the terminology of the insurgent, quote unquote, because we weren't fighting an actual military anymore. It was, you know, people that then were primarily using guerrilla warfare that then had like who were hiding amongst the people and this and that and that. And the general definition of that then who could then be targeted becomes incredibly vague. And it seems that then in the sense of that then, as has been seen with the, I think it was called Daddy's Home, if I'm not mistaken, was like the like code name that Israel used for it, was entirely indiscriminate of like how it was used. It was just the sense of one, the threshold for allowable civilian casualties was extremely high. I think it was like somewhere like 30% or something like that, but don't quote me on that. But anyway, it was still like a measure that then Israel also didn't really care about, because then the categorization of that then who is determined as a you know, member of Hezbollah is also very vague.
Yeah, it's all like often social graphing, right? Like through WhatsApp, like you have someone's contact on your phone and they have a contact on their phone, and like Israel determines that person is Hamas or something, and therefore like your house gets blown up.
Yeah, and I think it's in the sense of that then we hilariously are ending up to somehow a worse era of, not to say that then there's ever a good era of military warfare, but it's like we're slowly ending up through then like technological justification to just end up carpet bombing everything again, right? Like this is like Israel, like Gaza has shown the sense of that then it's like World War II levels of destruction are actually normalized again. Israel has no you know, there's been no accountability any way whatsoever, and they have, alongside the United States, you can't even make the argumentation that then it's like, oh well, you know, like they were just, you know, doing like, you know, Dresden style bombings of the places. Like everything that Israel has is you know, guided missiles. You know, they have probably the most advanced military in the world technologically, and then yet still, like, I mean, of course it's obvious, you know, it is a genocide. It is the sense that Israel is very much aware of what they're doing and this and that and that, but the technologies in no way made it more ethical. They actually did the exact opposite at the end of the day, it seems like.
That's the thing. I feel like a lot of this, you know, these red lines that that Anthropic and OpenAI and the Pentagon are arguing over, it feels like semantic bullshit at this point, because like the truth of the matter is they just don't care. Like we've seen so many strikes by Israel on hospitals or like schools or whatever, like, you know, same with the US with like Minab in Iran recently. Like even if they do a whoopsie, but whether it be by computer or just like evil guy sitting at the helm of whatever like drone targeting system they're using, like they're just going to say it was Hamas later, like that hospital was Hamas later, or whatever. Exactly. Like it doesn't, it feels like we're quibbling over what
point. And I think there is like the it's kind of like what, like the message and the messenger sort of thing, right? It's like, you know, Israel is doing this indiscriminate war against, war is the wrong word. Israel's doing indiscriminate genocide against Palestinians and wants to level God. Like they've been very like open and honest. Yeah. If you like, when it, like the joke of like translate tweet from Hebrew, you know, thing. But then you're right. Yeah. It's in the sense that then it's like the explanation is always like, oh, well, you know, the school was actually Hamas. The hospital was also Hamas. The school kids themselves were also Hamas.
Yeah, you know,
it's like Israel's been able to get themselves out of that, you know, discussion constantly with the West, because also too, I think the West is very, I don't want to say that they're gullible. They're just kind of fine with it at this point. They're like, they know what is going to be happening. Israel is very good at lying. The only thing that then has like changed recently is that then the documentation of genocide in Gaza is like kind of become so apparent that then it's like a bit harder for then people to look away.
Mm-hmm.
But governments aren't changing their tune on Israel. You know, maybe like Spain's the only one being like, I don't want to go to war with Iran.
Yeah.
And this and that and that. But it made me think of another thing when you were mentioning like the semantics of warfare and whatnot. And we had like, it is like, it's constantly this way too that I feel of like the West having to convince itself that then it is like doing that it's doing warfare better than the past and this and that and that. And like one of the interesting things is that then during the it makes me think specifically of during the Vietnam War, where the United States kind of knows internally within itself that they're like not going to win Vietnam. You know, like they take over in like 1965, the conflict from France. It then goes for about 10 years into 1975. And the United States, in order to kind of like convince the American public to a degree that then it is working, and this is one of the ways, not just the singular reason, but they end up putting Robert McNamara as head of the Department of Defense. Robert McNamara, who used to be a CEO at Ford, or was the CEO of Ford. And then this is where you get the transition from then American military wins more or less being seen by casualty rates. Mm-hmm. So in the sense of that in order for them, the American people to be like, oh, well, you know, like we're winning this conflict is because like, oh, well, there's so few American casualties and look at how many Vietnamese we're killing. And then like, you know, the description of who is and who isn't a member of the NVA and the Viet Cong and whatnot obviously becomes very confused with like guerrilla warfare. But this method doesn't actually work. 1968 kind of comes around. The Tet Offensive happens, which then catches the United States by surprise. And the American public kind of sees for the first time that Vietnam is going quite poorly. And this just seems like that done multiple times over, like in the sense of, well, you know, look at like, look at the devastation that then is happening in Gaza. Look at then what's happening in Lebanon. Look at what's happening in Iran. And Israel is very much having to like Israel and the United States, I think, are having to convince everyone that then it's like, this is going very well for us,
mm-hmm.
because look at how technologically advanced we are. Look at how like, look at how much further superior we are, when realistically the like actual reality on the ground for these two countries is far different. Recently there's been reports that the Trump administration is very confused about how to go further with Iran. They're not even sure if they want to do a ground invasion of the country because it is too impossible probably for them to legitimately win. And the south of Lebanon is a very interesting one, where then Israel can never actually take land from Hezbollah very well, because when it comes to then like actual like, you know, close quarter conflict, which has also been seen in Gaza, Israel's kind of not good at it. So this like kind of mental gymnastics to then kind of convince the world that oh, we're going to like, you know, be bigger, better, stronger and this and that and that. Like, to me, this is what it just all like kind of comes down to. Like, it's just like a repackaging of this thing that then actually we're really bad at doing this thing. Iraq and Afghanistan is also another perfect example, right? Like 20-ish years in both those countries and nothing really changed. It just got worse.
It's interesting. Like, I feel like it goes in both directions too, though, right? Because with Gaza, like the official number floated around at like 47,000 or something for like months and months and months, even though that was clearly not the case. Like multiple journals, the Lancet Journal, et cetera, had been like, yeah, it's definitely in the hundreds of thousands. But like, of course, like Israel's desperately trying to convince the world that they're not doing a genocide.
Yeah.
So they're like happy to keep that number low. Whereas like, yeah, now it's like we see the opposite. It's Trump is being like, oh, you know, we could fight this war for years if we needed to, or whatever he said the other day. And yeah,
where have I heard that before?
Yeah, exactly. Like, is that what you want, buddy? I don't think so. But yeah. Like, at the same time, you know, there's all these reports about missile interceptors like running out in 5 days' time, and like, yeah. At the same time, you know, heaps of units apparently being called up to deploy right now, speculatively. So yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean. The very like annoying Marxist in me wants to just always kind of write this off of just like, oh, it's the same thing over and over and over again. And I like, I don't know, but I do feel that then it's the sense of it's like, well, it may be the same thing forever and always, whatever, just, you know, the terminology changes. It does feel it's getting more evil. And like, and I know that then that that's like a very like subjective word, but it's like the more that then that I guess like the human element of war is then removed from it, which is kind of a weird thing to say, the more justifiably evil that like thing kind of becomes. I don't know. And I mean, maybe it's in the sense that then because we've seen so much of it in such a short amount of time the last few years, but it's like, you know, kind of the like odd thing, right, of like, but from like World War One to World War Two, like technology like massively skyrockets in terms of like advancements that we have like militarily, also leads to the most brutal conflict in human history, right? Like just because then these like, you know, the ethics behind it may be changing and this and that, or that then, oh, you know, like because you're so distant from it, you don't actually like take part in it the same way, has also then alienated warfare so much to the fact that then it's like, oh, well, like indiscriminate bombing of everything forever and always just like kind of seems like the norm now. And that's odd. And I think that then that that's also one of the things that then it's like technology has kind of allowed us to do is not us, because we're, you know, cool and with it and we get that this stuff is very bad, but that it has alienated death to this point of that then, you know, creating all these hoops and ladders and algorithms and, you know, button presses or whatever, does make it easier to then kind of convince that then that, oh, well, this is actually fine and okay. You know, oh, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a sissy leftist.
No, I mean, I like, I agree with you and I don't. I feel like it also goes in both directions. It's like, okay, yes, this has been the most sort of live streamed times of like genocide and this sort of thing. And so like we see it more in a way that we never could before. But yeah, at the same time, I feel like it's almost normalized it. And there's so many things that come, particularly from like the Trump administration, that I feel like it would have been a scandal like 20 years ago. Like maybe the Epstein files is a good example.
That's just like, to say.
Yeah, like exactly. Like it's like Monica Lewinsky. Remember how big that was? Like that was a whole big fucking drama. And like perhaps some of that is perpetuated by the fact that we had like, I don't know, a limited amount of scoped media outlets that could like report on shit. And so of course we had like more official narratives. So we have like way more information overload these days, way more exposure to it. It's like you pound your brain with so much of it's like same with them releasing 32,000 Epstein files at once. Like yeah. You're of course just not going to be able to like sift through it enough to not be like, ah, I'm overwhelmed, I'm gonna bury my head in a pool.
Yeah, I don't know, some random guy though on Instagram probably is though, and I trust him even though he's gonna probably not have any level of media literacy. And sure, yeah, I mean there's also then that is problem as well too, is that then like we're so like hyper exposed that then everything and nothing can happen simultaneously and doesn't really make a difference, right? It's like the level of that then the depravity of whether it be the Epstein files, Gaza, all this kind of stuff that then has been culminating the last like decade, I don't see change really necessarily happening. You know, it's like in the sense that then it's like we've also then had the, you know, the possible conversion of political, what people think is like political action, to then just become like, oh, well, if I share this, then sure, then that's fine. Instead of like actually like, sure, yes, people in the like peripheral worlds, like Pakistan, for example, recently just like Pakistan and Iraq, if I'm not mistaken, just like went to the U.S. embassy, just started like throwing stuff at it and whatnot. And like, you know, the U.S. military opened fire against like the Pakistani protesters. But it's like the sense like that's not happening here. You know, I'm not seeing like no German is going to the U.S. embassy and like throwing rocks at it, which
of course not. Germans are little like, babies.
No. But I mean, yeah, but it's the sense of it's like it is kind of this like, I mean, that's a whole other, I guess, conversation too, right? Of just, it's like overexposure to media has then been this very kind of hilariously, you know, derailing thing for radical politics, right? Like it's like, okay, yeah, sure, I see everyone posting about this and that, but you know, that is where it like is limited for most people. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
it's
good
true.
To then see a friend of yours that you thought was a dipshit actually having a conscience, but you also know that then at the same time too, it's like, okay, whatever, like that's just gonna like, I don't know, maybe like not move anything forward.
We're just posting about it on like Meta.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
like,
or
great.
Maybe I'm just way too cynical. Maybe it is actually like making differences, because
I do think it does to a limited extent, but like in the face of what, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a whole other, you know, technology is crazy. What's up with them? You know, are we really better off? I mean, sure, you can also make the argumentation pretty quickly that then it's like a lot of like political movements that then started themselves online ended up coming into like bigger things. But these are typically not things in the West though either. So like the Egyptian Revolution.
I was going to say Facebook and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, same with like most of the Arab Spring, I think was like Facebook organized is my impression.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think very much so.
But, I mean, I think that still happens now, right? Like Instagram and stuff. It just makes me very sad that these are our go-to platforms because it's like not indexed by a search engine, like completely not searchable.
Yeah, true.
Like not archivable, very ephemeral and like in the hands of like very small companies who actively don't want this information.
Who also are massive defense contractors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, because that's the thing that's also very interesting, right, about Facebook as a usage for the Arab Spring is that then there's a lot of speculation that that is allowed to happen because it's like kind of one of the functions of it outside of the West, of that then it's like technologies for communication, which then actually can like be beneficial for the U.S. regime change. Given Syria did not end up in U.S. regime change immediately, Egypt is another one too, where then it's like they did this thing. And then it ended up being that the Muslim Brotherhood then took power and then the U.S. was like, oh, no, we can't have that. We have to have like Sisi and this and that and that. But nonetheless, there is like, I think one of the most notable ones has been Mexico, where it's like there has been like this very fake uproar that then has been of like, oh, you know, like after the, what is it? Was it Nepal where they just recently had like a protest mm-hmm. and then. Or there was some country, I forget, in Southeast Asia where they were flying the One Piece flag. Do you remember this? I totally missed this.
When was this?
Maybe it was Indonesia or something. I can't remember. But it was a few months ago and they were like, the protesters were coming out and like flying the One Piece flag. And then the CIA started realizing that they can just use the imagery of that to then try to like make a anti-Claudia Steinbaum movement in Mexico. And tried to like get like, oh yeah, like all these Mexicans are really mad about Steinbaum. And then just seeing a bunch of boomers come up with the One Piece flag that they don't know what it is was just like very like hilarious and very like hyper fabricated. So yeah, I don't know. That's just a bit of a little tidbit fun info of recent US backed Facebook ops.
Yeah, I mean,
Mexico.
Yeah, the... Good tidbit. I feel like the thought left my brain. But yeah, I mean, TikTok as well is like just getting bought by Oracle too.
Exactly. So yeah, like, becoming a US mouthpiece like overnight.
And this is a tricky thing too, right? Because it's like there are these sort of attempts often at like alternative platforms, be it Blue Sky, which I think are a bit shitty anyway. I forget.
Blue Sky's awful.
I do have an account, but I think I never look at it.
I don't know what the politics behind it are, but it's just like there was like Twitter was a time and place. We were all having fun.
I miss the days of Twitter being good.
Yeah. And now it's just like I'll tweet something that then I think is funny and I'll get 6 likes. Back in my Twitter days, that used to do at least double. Right.
No, this is the thing though. It's like these attempts to move to alternate platforms. Like I wish it would work, but it never seems to. And it always seems to just split off different politically inclined people in different directions, yeah. You know, be it like Truth Social. And what was the other one? There was like one that started with P. Whatever the other right wing like Twitter version was.
You mean Gabber?
No, maybe.
Or Gab or whatever. Because that was another one that was like a Nazi platform. There's Truth Social. And then there's also like the right wing streaming platforms like Kick and stuff like that, where there's no rules and you can like gamble all the time. Kick.
I thought that was like a sexy app.
Funny that you mentioned that.
It used to be.
It's spelled differently. K-I-K is the one that you're thinking of, which then Uma mentioned on an episode a few weeks ago that was the app where you used to get groomed.
And yeah, then, it was like, it was kind of like a priest. It was like when sort of Signal and like various, yeah. There were various attempts at privacy apps and that was like the sketchiest one.
That was the sketchiest one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then no, Kick as in like K-I-C-K.
Okay, okay.
That's the one where it's just like people go.
Oh, that's the Nazis.
Yeah, well, like the, what are they called again? Oh, the people at Clavicular, the... the Looksmaxers and like the people who stream all the time and because the thing with it is that then Twitch was getting mad that people were like doing like things like gambling and stuff like that, which were against the TOC of Twitch. So then Kick then was just kind of like, you can do whatever you want here, this and that and that. And like a bunch of like right wingers have then like been attracted. I mean, there's other reasons too why that then people like, you know, got kicked off of Twitch. It wasn't just gambling. But yeah, it was like that's then the one for, you know, but those are like weirdly, I think you're right to point out the fact that then it's like they're, you know, in their own political element, but they are successful, you know, too. It's like, I feel that then it's like the only one that then has kind of like not been successful has been like an alternate to Twitter.
I mean, no, but this is my point, right? It's like there have and are attempts to, you know, branch off in different directions. And like the most recent one is what Upscrolled. It's like the sort of Instagram alternative that's made by like a Palestinian Australian dev, I think, that everyone was jumping on like a couple weeks ago. This kind of thing, but it's like, I don't know. No, it just feels more and more compartmentalized.
Well, you know what? All right. Me and my polycule, we're all on Mastodon.
No, you're on Polymarket betting on, have you heard about this? It's like people are making bets. It's horrible. It's like people are making bets on like war crimes.
On everything. Essentially. Of course. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Polymarket, very much aware of that. I can bet on literally anything.
Yeah.
No, me and my polycule are on Mastodon, as you know.
With your own federated server or whatever.
Yes, with our own server, and everything is bliss over here. You know, all right. Me and the we love bouldering, and
polycules always love bouldering.
They love bouldering.
No, actually, as a bouldering fan, I am deeply not in a polycule.
Yeah, you're like, you know, not all boulderers.
Not all boulderers are in a polycule.
Yeah. Oh God, we could spend an hour talking about the people watching
at the bouldering gym. Oh my gosh, no, yeah, we could.
But, Kat, thank you so much for coming on and having this for me eye-opening discussion about AI, because I know nothing about it and I'm going to keep it that way, and everything that you've told me is going to exit my brain immediately.
Correct. Yeah. Just clear your context.
I will. Yeah. I will do a, you know,
/ clear and make it all go away.
Exactly. Yes, I will do that. To be fair, I still don't know what AI is.
Fine.
Yeah.
Good.
It's all vague.
It's a marketing term. Don't worry.
Thank you. All right. That is what I feel. It is just a term to then get investment. But where can our listeners find you if you want them to find you?
I do not have that set up yet, and I will tell you later when I do.
Okay. Well, let's cut that then. Thank you again for coming on the show. And we will catch you all on the main feed. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.